calling on Testament Aleph. It's a little just above the middle of the Amud, the line between the Tachton. Okay, so we were discussing, so the previous Gemara was discussing about what the fact that Rebbe uses the word Aleha, that we've been discussing throughout almost from the beginning of the Masechta, the extra word Aleha by a chos ishta, that a man's not allowed to have relations with his wife's sister. He used that word Aleha instead of, as we were using until now, to discuss that it teaches us that you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum when it's a matter, when it would override an Isser Karis. He learns that from elsewhere, from Yibma. Instead, he uses this word Aleha, we said, to teach us the whole concept. When do you have to bring? When does an individual bring a chatas, and when does the sibur bring a chatas? And then the various possibilities that by a regular avera, by a avodah zara, and what the details are in each case. Hello.
He's deriving that from
v'yibim, from v'lokach, v'lokach, v'yibim, v'lokach, v'yibim, v'yibma. The Torah says v'lokach, that he should take the yivama, and instead it says v'lokach, he should take her. Instead of v'yibim, it could have said, it says v'yibma, and he should be miyam her. Yeah. Okay, so we said that he uses the word aleha for one part of the limud to learn how we know who brings what carbon and in what cases. The fact that you only bring a carbon if the thing is b'mezid chayiv karis. The question is Testament Aleph, a little above the middle of the Amud. V'rabbanan hay svarim en alehu. So where did the Rabbanan get this from? This that we're saying, that you compare the last thing we said, that we learned the yachid, the nasi, and the mashiach, from the fact that all of them bring the same carbon if they worship the Vedazara, unlike with a regular case we said where an individual brings one kind of carbon, a Nasi brings a different kind, a Kohen Mashiach brings yet a different kind, but if it was a Vedazara, we said they're all the same. And in general, we said this whole limud that we said that everybody, that in that case everybody brings the same, the fact that if it's a regular Aveda, that how do we know what kind of Aveda to bring a Chatas, the kind that you, that's Chayiv Karis B'mezid. This Rebbe learned it by a series of occasion, we said, one of which was the Hekesh Aleha. So the question is, v'rabbanan, hay svarim en alehu. So where did Rabbanan get this from? Given that they use the word aleha to teach us something else, to teach us about etc. So where do they learn this from? The answer is nachkelahu midimakrilei Rabbi Yeshua livrei. They learn it from this pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Yeshua the Tana, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi the Amora, taught his son. The pasuk says in Shlach, in that connection, after it talks about the person who worships the Vedazara, the Shoigig, and brings the carbon, the pasuk continues, Torah achas yelachem, there should be one Torah for you, la'oise b'shgaga, for anybody who acts b'shoigig. And then the next pasuk continues, v'anefesh ashtas b'yad rama, any person who acts in a high-handed and a chutzpahdik way, meaning does it b'mezid. We say he's chayiv karis. So therefore, huksha kol haTorah kula l'avodas chachavim. So we see that the whole Torah, there's a hekesh between Avodazara and the whole Torah. Because first the Torah was talking about a carbon for worshiping Avodah Zarah, and then it's talking about a carbon for doing any Avodah B'mezid. Or actually it's the other way around. Torah Achas Yelachem La'Isa B'Shgaga means for doing any Avodah B'Shogig, any Avodah Chayiv Karis B'Shogig. V'Anefesh Shetas B'Yad Rama is actually talking, the pasuk continues, that Hashem Hu Megadif, that the person is blaspheming Hashem. Which we learn from that, it's talking about Avodah Zarah and also Birkas Hashem, also cursing Hashem.
So which applies to which?
The first one, La'Isa B'Shgaga, refers to all the other mitzvahs. V'Nefesh Shetas B'Yad Rama is referring to Avodah Zarah. So we see that the two of them is a hekesh. So just like a Vedazara is something that if a person does it amazed, he's Chayiv Karis. Again, he may also be Chayiv Mrs. Bastin, but that's neither here nor there. And therefore, if he does it for Shagig, he brings a Chatas. So the same thing, everything else. When do you bring a Chatas? Only if it's something that amazed would be Karis. And as the Gemara said yesterday, also it would have to be a loisa, say. It can't be an esse, even though there was two esses, Pesach and Mila, which are Chayiv Karis. For not doing them, those aren't in the category.
They're in the same pasuk or is it a pasuk?
No, these are two pasukim back to back. Okay, the Gemara says, Ashkechon Yochid v'nasi u'mashiach ben Bavaris Kechavim ben Meshamitz. That's fine. So far, either according to the Rabbanon or according to Rebbe, we have a source for saying that a regular individual, a Nasi, meaning the king, or Mashiach, the Kohen, who's anointed with Shemana Mishcha, in all those cases, ben Bavaris Kechavim or ben Meshamitzvahs, that in all those cases, they bring a Chatas. When it's an Aveira, that's Chayiv Koris, amazing. We establish that because we have the various occasion. Tzibur, Avodas Kechavim, Minayin. How do we know? When it comes to the Tzibur, worshipping Avodah Zarah, how do we know? It's the same kind of thing. That it's only if it's something that would be Chayiv Karis. Which means, for example, now there can be things in Avodah Zarah that are not Chayiv Karis. Rashi said on the previous part of the Gemara, earlier on the Amud, that, for example, a person kisses an Avodah Zarah, or hugs it, or sweeps in front of it, or whatever, those are not, unless it's derech avidas v'kach, unless it's a particular idol where the normal way of worshipping it is to kiss it, or hug it, or what have you, then a person not chayiv karis for it.
They're not chayiv karis for it.
A person is chayiv karis as follows. I don't want to get too far off topic, because we have a lot to cover, but the idea with Avodah Zarah is a person is only chayiv karis or chatas for Avodah Zarah if either it's one of the four, you do one of the four avodas which are done lahavdil to the Eibishter in the Bais Mikdash, zibuach, shechting an animal or whatever, a living creature as a carbon, kitter, bringing something as a sacrifice or for making it burn, nisuch, pouring some kind of liquid, or yishtachavah, bowing. Those kinds, regardless of whether the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped that way or not, a person is always chayiv for those four. Second of all, karis or chatas, yeah. Karis or chat or Mrs. Pastin, if they wound him. Then you have each Avodah Zarah, the different geshkes that people have come up with throughout history, everybody came up with a different way of worshipping them. The classical ones from the Gemara are, they would go to the bathroom in front of it. Merkulis, they would throw rocks at it. And, you know, you have all kinds. You can look in history. There's lots of different geshkes that were worshipped in lots of different ways. So those, a person is also chayiv if he does those. A person goes in front of Pa'ur and defecates and then relieves himself in front of that, then he's chayiv.
Either or, he doesn't have to do both.
No, it's that or the four avodas. But for example, a person does the same thing in front of Merkulos, nothing happens. That's not the normal way of serving Merkulos. But if a person goes in front of Pa'ur and shechts the carbon, for example, it doesn't matter that nobody worships Pa'ur that way, you're still chayiv. So, for example, going to the bathroom in front of Merkulis, in front of any other idol except for Pa'ur, fine, you're not chayiv at all. That's not even an issue at all because it's not a normal way of avodah. But then you have things that are, it's a fairly normal thing that people do for their getchkes, but it's not considered an official way of worshiping it. People would love their idols so much they would hug them. But a person goes and hugs an idol, it's usur, he's usur to do that because it's an Avodah Zarah. But he's not chayiv karis for it. Because that, assuming that that's not the normal way of worshipping it.
What is he chayiv?
He may be chayiv malchus, I'm not sure about that. But I'm not sure if he's chayiv malchus or if he's not chayiv anything at all. But whatever, he's certainly not chayiv karis and therefore no chatos. Yeah. Anyway. So with Tzibur, how do we know that a Tzibur also the same thing? How do we know? For example, suppose the Sanhedrin paskin for the Tzibur that you're allowed to hug a Getchka and most of the people went and do it. How do we know that they're not Chayiv HaChatas? That's the question. Yeah. Omakra, because the Pasuk says, V'im Nefesh, V'yilamed Elyon Mitachtin. Because we said, just like we said before, that you have the Pasuk about the Pesukim about the Tzibur in Parashat Shlach that describes if the Sanhedrin makes a mistake and the Tzibur follows them in Avodah Zarah. Then it continues, v'im nefesh, and if an individual does the same thing, then he also brings a carbon. So just like we said before, we wanted to learn the second one from the first one because of the vav that connects them, here we're doing the other way around. V'ilamet elyon mitachtin. We learn the one above, the first section about the tzibur from the second one about the yachid. Since the second one about the yachid, it's clear that it's only of a dezara where you're chayiv karis, because we already established that, then the same thing. By the tzibur, it's also only the kind of a dezara action that's chayiv karis. Okay, then the question is, Ela Tzibur B'Sham Mitzvahs Minayin. Okay, so then where do we know that the Tzibur, by other mitzvahs, that the same rule applies only if it's Chayiv Karis? The answer is, Yalef Me'enei Me'enei. We make yet another Gzeira Shava. That we had this before, actually, that there was a Pasuk V'Haya Me'enei Eida, and there was another Pasuk by the Yochid, I think, that also said Me'enei, there were two Pasuk in Me'enei. One in Vayikra about the Par Helam Davashal Tzibur, one in Shlach about Avodah Zarah. So we see that once we've established that the Tzibur is Chayiv on Avodah Zarah only when it's Chayiv Karis, Because we said we do that from the Yochid, which is next day in Parsha Shlach. Then in turn, we take the word Me'ene from Shlach and juxtapose it with the Me'ene from Vayikra and get ourselves that the one in Vayikra, also the Parahelam Davish Al-Tzibur, is referring to a case where it's Chayiv Karis. Now, going back, Rebbe, Hai Torah Achas Mai Avid Le, what does Rebbe do with this pasuk Torah Achas Yelachem? The Chachamim used it to teach us that all the Yechidim have to bring the same kind of carbon. Or under the same circumstances. Rebbe doesn't need that. He had his limud from Aleha. So what does he do with the Tarnacha? No, that's what we're talking about. Something that if a person did it b'meizid, it would be Chayiv Karis. Right now he did it b'shoigig, so he's Chayiv Chatas. But where does Rebbe know this from? What does Rebbe do with this word Tarnacha? He uses it for what we learn in a Braitha as follows. We find when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Torah distinguishes between individuals and a large group. Namely, you have an individual who worships Avodah Zarah, and then you have a large group, an Yoni Dachas, that worships Avodah Zarah. And the din for them is completely different. Yechidim, the skila, an individual who worships Avodah Zarah gets skila. Lefichach mamon and polat, and therefore, because they're getting a harsher kind of punishment, their money is safe. Their property is safe. Their property is not forfeit. They themselves are killed, but the property goes to their heirs.
Why? What's the connection?
Connection seems to be because they're getting a harsher punishment. They're getting skila, which is the maximum punishment. Therefore, we're not going to go so far as to condemn their... Yeah.
That's like the thing where if you owe money, then you don't...
Yeah, I'll definitely come later out. Well, sort of. I mean, here the Merubim also get killed. This is it. Merubim Besayif, the public, when an Eir Nidachas worships Avodah Zarah, they get killed by the sword. Lefichach Mamon and Avad, and therefore their money is lost. All the property of the Eir Nidachas has to be destroyed. And even the property of the Tzaddikim, the good people who live there, who didn't worship Avodah Zarah, still gets destroyed as well. Yeah, that's the idea.
Well, also,
yeah, let's not get into that. There is an interesting side. I just want to mention an interesting side thing that in Igris, you can find, I think it's also someplace in the back of the Kutasichas, that someone once wrote to the Rebbe with a Svara that the idea is when you have an Irani Dachas, when you have a whole city or the majority of a city, whatever, that worship the Avodah Zarah, what happens effectively is we consider them as if they weren't Jews anymore. The din is, for Jews, you have the four misfaces, Skilas, Seifa, Herig, Vechenek. For a guy who violates any of the Sheva Misfaces of Nayach, the punishment is always Herig, is always the sword. So this person, I don't remember who it was, wanted to argue. Yeah, always for all the Shevamitzes Nenach. So this person wanted to argue to the Rebbe that what we're doing over here is we're treating the members of the people of the Eir Nidachas like Nenach. The Rebbe didn't accept that. I don't. It's a long time since I've looked at the letter. I don't remember the exact reasoning that the Rebbe used to say that no. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
The reason was the Eir Nidachas concept.
Right, it is a different mitzvah, that's for sure. That's what the Rebbe answered in the letter over there. It's that this person wanted to argue that the individual's status also changes. Yeah. Anyway. So, Yochel Nachlik B'Korban Aseyan. So you would think by the same logic we should make a distinction between the Korbanis. If the Yochid worships Avodah Zarah, he should bring one kind of Korban. If the Rabbim worship, they should be bringing something different. We're not talking about the Rabbim, maybe not the whole Tzibur, but one city. You have, just like if the whole city worships Avodah Zarah, they're going to get killed, and their money and their property is going to be destroyed. Maybe if they did it for Shegig, they should have to bring a special kind of Korban, not the regular individual kind of Korban. Tamud Lima, Torah Achas Yelachem. That's why the pasuk says there should be one Torah for you. So the same for the Yochid and for the Sibyl. Maskeh Rav Chilka Me'Agrunya. So Rav Chilka Me'Agrunya asks on that, what do you mean? Time is called Rachmana Torah Achas Yelachem. So what do you mean? You're telling me only because the Torah uses that extra word, Torah Achas Yelachem, according to Rebbe anyway, that therefore we learn this, and otherwise we would think the people of an Irani Dachas B'Shoigig should bring a special carbon? Different than the regular individual carbon. Halav hachi havamin and chalik. If not for that, we would think we should distinguish. The question is, my life, what should they be bringing? You want to tell me they should bring a different carbon? What kind of carbon are you thinking of? Lysupar, should they be bringing a bull? No, it's Sibur Shamitz with Udamaisu. That's the kind of carbon that the Sibur brings for other kind of mitzvahs. That's not the carbon of Avodah Zarah. Kisba, yachid. Should they bring a female sheep? That's what an individual brings. Yachid b'shar mitzvahs u'demaisi. That's what an individual brings for other mitzvahs. Sawyer, should they bring a male goat? No good. Nasi b'shamitzvah to divide. See, that's what a nasi brings by the mitzvahs. No, by none of these other korbanos do we ever find any hint that a tzibur, that a whole community should be bringing it. Not the whole Jewish people, but a whole city should be bringing it. So therefore, what does the Torah need to tell us that you should know? A whole city doesn't bring a korban of their own. What other kind of korban would you think you could find that they should that there would be an implication that they should bring? Kaila Ola Vasar Lachatas, should they be bringing a bull for an Ola and a Sar for a Chatas? No, that's Kachav Mordemai. So that's the whole Jewish people, when they, or okay, according to one opinion, one Shevet, but still not just one city, brings that for Avodah Zarah. The Elamai Seira, so what, you're going to say, okay, make a distinction, normally a Yachid brings a female sheep, so instead you're going to make these people bring a female goat instead, and that'll be the distinction? Still no good. Yachid Nami Haino Kobarai. That is capable of being the Yachid's Koban as well. The Yachid has a choice. Unlike the Nasi always has to bring a male goat for other mitzvahs, not for Avodah Zarah. The Tzibur always has to bring a par for other mitzvahs and a par and a sawyer for Avodah Zarah. And a Yachid always has to bring a sawyer. There's always, with each of these Kobanas that we're discussing, there's always only the one choice. Only when it comes to a Yachid by other mitzvahs other than Avodah Zarah does he have a choice, a female sheep or a female goat. Both of them are meant for a yachid. Neither of them is specifically designated for a city. So therefore, so that's what Reb Chilkiah is asking. Why do you need a pasuk to tell us that that in this case the individual members of the city don't just pool together and bring one korban on behalf of the city? What kind of korban could you find that you would think they should bring? Obviously, they have to each bring their individual korban. The Gemara answers, not necessarily. It's rich, you still need it. You might have thought, okay, so the tzibur, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha, in other areas, not Avodah Zarah, in other mitzvahs, then they bring a par for an oila and a sar for a chatas. So maybe they should be bringing the same korban, but the other way around. Maybe they should be bringing a bull for a chatas and a sar for an oila. That's why they have to tell us that not. Inami, or another possibility, you might have thought, Sorech Ve'en L'Takana. What would it mean if we didn't have a positive Torah Yolachem? It would mean these people are stuck. They did something for which there's no way to bring a korban for. The Torah does not specify a korban in this case. You would think, in that case, maybe they don't bring a korban for the city because there's no particular korban that the Torah designates for that purpose. They can't bring as individuals because, again, they were a city. They didn't do it as individuals. So therefore, you might think they're stuck. That's the Chiddush. Torah Achas Yolachem is that no. The city and the individual are on the same ground. Just like if it was one individual, he brings a female sheep or a female goat. Same thing if it was 100 individuals, a whole city or whatever.
That's because there's no other solution.
Basically. That's what the Torah is telling us by telling us Torah. But that's why the Torah needs to tell us Torah has Yolachem, because otherwise you might have thought it means they're stuck. It means they should have to bring a korban,
right.
But there's no korban they can bring.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Kamash Malan. So that proves it. Now that we finally, so this basically finishes off that sugya, the sugya about Kores and Ese and Loises and all the everything that came out from that. Now going back to a little more directly to our Mishnah, and here comes the fun part with a lot of diagrams. Omele Levi Lerevi. So Levi, the famous Levi, the really one of the late Tanoim, early Amoraim, asks Rebbe, Mayu is a Tony Tesavov. Why at this does the Mishnah list only 15 cases where we say that the women and their tzareis and tzareis and tzareis are potter from chalitza and yibum? Listen, tesnayin. Let us say 16. Now, Levi does not specify what he means by the 16th. We the Gemara kind of hinted at it before. We mentioned it on Daf Dalet. Now we're going to talk about it more extensively. But he just implied that there should be a 16th. Rebbe understood which one he's talking about. But Rebbe answers him, Amalei, he answers him very shortly. It seems to me that he, meaning you, has no brains in his skull. Meaning, basically, it's not really a good question. It's a very unusual expression for Rebbe to say. And the vort is, before I should explain, we've had this a few times already. We've had cases where Amoraim talk very sharply to the Talmidim, because you have to. When you see that the Talmud is capable of applying himself, is capable of being greater, and he's not, and sometimes Zroik Marab Talmidim, you have to throw a little bitterness on them and talk to them in a way that makes them realize that they have work to do. They have what to improve. Incidentally, by the way, for all this that Rebbe is saying to Levi, to Levi, Kim Dumal Dishen Lamarach Kakadeh, there's a story in a Medrash someplace, we actually will have a brief reference there close to the end of the Masechta, where Levi, where people of a certain city ask Rebbe to send them somebody who can be a jack of all trades, and they can be their Rav and Chazen and Malamed and I forget what else, and he sends them Levi and he tells them, I'm sending them somebody like myself. So you see that he held very highly of Levi. That's why he needs to tell him the sharp expression, apply yourself more diligently and realize that you're making a mistake. My what you're thinking, the 16th case that the Mishnah could have listed is the case where the Yavam is where the Yavam might end up with his mother, and how would his brother have been able to marry his mother is if his mother was Anusa, was raped by his father. Namely, we know the Torah says a man's not allowed to marry his father's wife. We had this briefly on Daf Dalet. So there's no question if Yaakov the father was married to Rachel, and he's married to two wives, Rachel and Leah, and from Leah he has children Reuben and Shimon and Levi and so forth. There's no question Reuben and Shimon and Levi are not allowed to marry Rachel even after Yaakov dies because she was his father's wife. Now, what happens if instead of Rachel being Yaakov's wife, what if they had relations outside of marriage, rape, seduction, whatever? That's not Ishta, exactly. So, is a brother from a different wife allowed to marry her? So that's the question. This is actually a machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not allowed to. We had on Daf Dalet. We had that Rabbi Yehuda had learned from Lo Yigala Knaf of you that you're not allowed to. So in that case, Reuben and Shimon and Levi and so forth are all also to marry Rachel, even though she was Anusa of it. And the Chachamim say she, and then the Chachamim say you are.
When she's an Anusa.
You'll
have to go to a Hupa and Kiddushin or not?
Here's the case. Imay Anusa Saviv. Let's have it drawn out of here. Yaakov raped Leah, and they had a son, Reuben. He also later on he married or in between whatever. Sometime he had married another woman, and they had a son, Shimon. So those two are half brothers from the father. Later on, Shimon goes and marries Leah, because according to the Rabbanan, he's allowed to. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he would not be allowed to do this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this arrow here would have to be in red. And he also married Sarah. So we're saying over here, if Shimon dies, we're saying according to the Rabbanan, then you have Leah is Reuben's mother, so obviously she's off limits to him for Yibum, and therefore her Sarah is also off limits, same as our Mishnah is saying. That's what Levi is asking. Why don't you have a 16th case?
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
Now, according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't be Shayach in the first place because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shimon is not allowed to marry Leah.
What would have happened if Shimon's marriage, the original marriage, instead of a rape, like say, was a regular marriage?
Yeah.
But took place after first marriage?
Doesn't matter. A man is not, the Torah says a man is not allowed to marry his father's wife.
Lo yikach
ish
es eishes aviv. No,
but it doesn't matter. If the father 20 years ago was married to a woman and divorced her, and later on he remarries his children from his second marriage, aren't allowed to marry that woman, yeah. So therefore, it's plugged to the Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. He has machloikus Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Or we plugged the like Hamayri. When the Mishnah says 15, it's talking things that apply according to everybody. It's not talking about things where you could only have it, where it would be a machloikus, whether you can even have the case. So that's what Rabbi is saying. It's not a good question why you're asking how could there be 16. You ask the lie. You're telling me not. We have in the second perek, the Mishnah is going to start talking about cases where you're not allowed to marry the woman because of mitzvah or because of kedusha. Mitzvah is where a couple was married where they were allowed to be married min haTorah but not midrabbanan. We're going to learn in the second perek the whole concept of shniyos. The Torah lists about 20 relatives you're not allowed to marry, and the Chachamim added several others, collateral relatives of those. So when we talked about in our Mishnah cases where Shimon, the brother who's now dead, was married to a woman, and now you have and her tzara, and now you have this woman and her tzara a potter. In all those cases, the woman is also to Reuven or to whichever brother midaraisa. So they're in Kedushin Tobson, by it's called, that the Kedushin would not even be able to take effect with his mother or sister or wife's sister or what have you.
And if it's a right?
If it's if it's Dirabbanan, though, like Shnius, if it's Dirabbanan, like Shnius, Minat Torah, you would be allowed to get married. It's only Midrabbanan you're not. So suppose that Shimon married a woman who was also to him Midrabbanan. Again, Minat Torah, you would say she was allowed to marry him, so when he dies, Reuven does Yibum, the usual. Since though she was also to Shimon, she was mutter to Shimon. Sorry, she's also to Reuven midrabanan. Sorry about that.
Reuven.
She's also to Reuven, the surviving brother midrabanan. So she's one of Reuven's shneers. She's one of Reuven's second level ones. Again, we'll talk about in the second parak. We'll have a lot of examples, but. For example, you have here's one example. The wife of his mother's let me see if I get this straight. Eshes avi avi ima. So his mother's father's wife is also only midrabanan.
You're several levels up.
Yeah. So suppose that in some cases several levels up is still also Minat Torah. We'll talk about it in the second paragraph. We'll have plenty of talk about that. But anyway, so suppose then. So Shimon was married to, let's say, So Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon is married to this great grandmother of Reuven's that we just discussed. His mother's father's father, his mother's father's father's mother, whatever. Shimon dies. Reuven is also to marry her midrabanan, but not midaraisa. That doesn't pater her from chalitza though. They still have to do. He can't do yibum with her because he's also midrabanan. But he's still going to have to do chalitza. That's called it. Yeah. And since midrabanan, he can't do yibum. He's going to have to do chalitza. That's called isu mitzvah. Isu kedusha is a case. For example, let's say that Shimon's wife Sarah was a mamzeres who he's not allowed to marry. It's an isu midrabanan for him to marry her. Not, sorry, it's an issur deraisa for him to marry her. It's an issur deraisa, but it's only a lav, it's not taris. The pligud of Akiva Rabbanan. Now, Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan argue on this point, whether would kedushin take effect in these cases. Rabbi Akiva holds, we're going to have much more about this later in the Masechta, but Rabbi Akiva holds that even, for example, with a mamzeres, or any case which is also by a lav, in kedushin tofsin. Kedushin do not take effect. Meaning, therefore, in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, in this case over here, Shimon and Sarah were never married in the first place. That Shimon was married to a mamzeres, Sarah. According to Rabbi Akiva, the kedushin never took effect. Sarah is not considered Shimon's wife. Therefore, there's no reason for she would be able to do yibum were it not for the fact that she's a mamzeres. But therefore, again, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, she doesn't need anything.
And if he was a mamzeres?
Well, if Reuven, no, yeah, that's true. Okay, if Reuven was a mamzer, then yeah, because a mamzer can marry a mamzeres, fine.
What do you need?
What?
She would make you.
Then maybe they could do yibum, yeah. But according to the Chachamim, Shimon was allowed to marry Sarah. She was not allowed to marry her deraisa. So let me clarify myself. But it was only allowed. The kedushin did take effect. Since the kedushin took effect because there's no karis involved, then therefore you would need to do yibum, but you can't. And minat Torah, you would have to do yibum, but you can't. Therefore chalitza. So we see that in those cases, the Mishnah mentions those cases in the next parak, which is a machlokes v'katani, and it mentions them. So we see that the Mishnah does list cases that involve a machlokes. So what are you telling me? What is Rebbe telling us that our Mishnah is only talking about things according to everybody? The answer is b'pirkin. The answer is b'pirkin, Kamina. We're talking about in our parak. In our parak, specifically in our first Mishnah, in our first two Mishnayos, we're talking about cases that are only that are agreed to by everybody. So therefore, we can't have the 16th case in our Mishnah because that would be Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim arguing on it.
So the
Mishnah speaks about the 15 cases that everybody agrees to. Everybody agrees that if it's his daughter or his sister from his mother's side or what have you, all the different cases over there, then she's talking about a chalitza and a yibum and tzara tzaris and the tzaris of her tzaris. Only according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, could you conceivably have a 16th case.
The Mishnah apparently, according to the Rabbanan, don't talk about
it. Right, but since Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree that 16th case can exist, therefore the Mishnah doesn't mention it. question is, Bahab Shama Matura Nasaras Lachan of Asilis. Why? We see later on in our parish the Machlokes the Shama Basil about this whole concept of Tsaris. We assume that we said that the Tsara and the Tsara of the Tsara and so forth are part of Machlitzim and Ayyim. That's actually Machlokes the Shama Basil, which we'll get to in a few days. The answer is okay, Bishamai Bakam Hillel ain't a Mishnah. When you have Bishamai versus Bais Hillel, Bishamai doesn't even count as like part of the Mishnah. We mention it sort of for historic reasons, because we need to know the Machlokes is Bishamai Bais Hillel, but the Halacha is almost never like Bishamai. So we can still say the Mishnah is saying only things that everybody agrees to, and ignore the fact that Bishamai holds differently. Okay, how about another case? What about the 14th case in our Mishnah, which was where you had a brother was born after the fact, after the first brother died? Yipligi Rav Shimon v'Rabbanan, which Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan argue about that. Pekatoni, and it mentions it. What's the machloikas? When we think about it, there's two possible cases. Eishas Achav Shalai by Lama is basically like this. We said in the Mishnah. You have that, you have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben dies. Sometime after that, Levi is born. We're not yet discussing, is it the, and here's the key point, which was going to be important to our Gemara over here, was Levi born, before Shimon did Yibum with Sarah, or after?
He was born from Sarah.
No. Levi is a brother of the original parents. He's a brother of Reuben and Shimon. In this thing, everybody who's colored the same color are brothers or sisters.
Okay.
So Reuben, Shimon, and Levi are all brothers. But when Reuben died, Levi wasn't born yet. Levi was born sometime after. Now, there's two possibilities. We could have that Shimon did Yibum with Sarah, as he was supposed to, or that Shimon did Yibum with Sarah, as he was supposed to, and after that, Levi was born. Or you could have that Shimon had not yet done Yibum, but it's still after Reuben had died, and then Levi is born.
And that would lead to...
That's the key thing over here. That's Rav Shimon argues that with Eishes Achav Shalayah Bar Lama, he says you can't do Yibum, but you need Chalitza. And yet we listed in our Mishnah. So we see that our Mishnah is mentioning cases that involve a machloikas. The answer is, but no little will say, Yibim le polig Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon does not argue in the case where Levi was born before Shimon did Yibim. Why? Because when we think about it, once Reuben dies, we establish that the wife, that Sarah, is considered, she's called, we said the other day, it's called Skoka. She's required, she's bound to the brothers, to whichever brothers are around. Now, suppose that Yibum has not taken place yet. She's still Skuka when Levi is born. So right now, as soon as Levi is born, on the face of it, she's Zakuk to both of them, one or the other. She's going to have to, on the face of it, she's going to have to marry one or the other.
And even before you...
But the thing is, so now let's say Shimon goes and does Yibum with her. Then later on, Shimon dies. We're saying even Rav Shimon would agree that she's now also to Levi, even though Levi lived at the same time as Shimon. But since Levi did not live at the same time as Reuben, and when Levi was born, Sarah was still Skuka, was still required to marry either of the brothers, either him or his brother. Therefore now she's considered Eishes Achav Shalayah Bar Lama. We still consider the fact that she was married to Reuben, because she had not yet married Shimon at the time that Levi was born.
If he was alive, actually.
No, because if he was alive, he would be able to. Now, in fact, he would have a mitzvah of Yibum. If he had been born before Reuben died, then he would have a mitzvah of Yibum.
If Levi
had been born before Reuben died, no question, of course. That was the case over there where we had. We had a bunch of brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., and the Yavama can go from one to the next, basically.
But the fact that he was born
before the Yibum took place, that makes him, even according to Reb Shimon, makes him also to her, or makes her also to him. As opposed to, suppose that he was born after Shimon had done Yibum with her. If he was born after Shimon had done Yibum with her, then, according to Rav Shimon, we say we ignore the fact that she was ever married to Reuben. She was Shimon. She's Shimon's wife now. Let's take Reuben out of the picture. Rav Shimon says, you have Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi were alive at the same time. Shimon dies. Levi does Yibum. Or actually, according to Rav Shimon, to be exact, no. According to Rav Shimon, Levi still can't do Yibum in that case, because we do have to take into consideration the fact that Reuben lived and that Sarah was once married to him. But he has to do Chalitza. As opposed to the Chachamim, he does not do anything. No Yibum, no Chalitza. Yet we see that this case is mentioned in our Mishnah. So we see that our Mishnah does mention cases involving the Machloikas. So what are you telling me? You don't want to mention Anrusas Aviv because it's Machloikas. So that's the answer. Benolot will say Yibin le Palag Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon does not argue in a case where the new child, where Levi was born before the Yibum took place. So when our Mishnah says Eishes Achav Shalai Hay Balamei, it means generically there can be a case where a brother was born after Reuben died and he doesn't, and he's potter from Chalitza and Yibum. Even according to everybody. According to everybody. There is a case where there'll be a machlokas, but there is a case where everybody will agree. Okay, next question. Why didn't Rabbi Oshia say that Rabbi Shimon argued about both cases? No, the answer is Hoytotzer Rabbi Oshia. Okay, but in that later Gemara, in the next paragraph, they slugged up Rabbi Oshia. So we don't have to worry about that. Okay, now comes the fun part. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav? And we also learn this in a Braisa of Rabchia, Bekulan ani kora behen, with all of these cases of our Mishnah, we're able to apply the case, that you have a case where one of the women is mutter to one and also mutter to one brother and also to another, and vice versa. And there you have a case, therefore, where you have sisters who are also sisters-in-law, who are also Yevamos, who can do Chalitza or Yibum. Now, what does this mean? Later on in the Masechta, in the third parak, you have a case like this. You have four brothers. Let's find the diagram for it over here. You have four brothers where two of them were married to two sisters. The other two, it doesn't really matter what their status was. Reuben and Shimon die. Now, so Rachel and Leah, the two sisters, are now zakuk to Levi and Yehuda. The problem is like this. The problem is that midrabbanan, we know a man's not allowed to marry his wife's sister. Midrabbanan, a man is also not allowed to marry the wife of the sister of his skuka. His skuka is a woman, a yevama, who's bound to him by chalitza riyivum, who has to have chalitza riyivum from him. In this case, when Reuben and Shimon die, Rachel and Leah, the two sisters, they're both, one or the other of them would have to do Chalitza or Yibum with Levi, one or the other would have to do Chalitza or Yibum with Shimon, meaning each of them is Zokuk to both brothers, which means Levi has a Zkuka and her sister, or the other way around, you could look at it, that Rachel is Zkuka and Leah, either way, the point is, you have a Chos Zkuka, so you have a problem. So that's the problem, you're not allowed to. If he were to do Yibum with one of them, then if he were to do Yibum with one of them, she's the sister of his skuka, equally zokuk to the other one. So what he would have to do is they'd have to do chalitza. Now, so let's point out one more detail. Suppose that even if one of them does chalitza, let's say Levi does chalitza to Leah. So fine, Leah's out of the picture right now on the face of it, but still, Yehuda is not allowed to marry Rachel because at one time, at the moment that Reuben died, she became, at the moment that Reuben and Shimon died, she became also to him.
First.
Because she was the sister of Yitzchukah. So the fact that you do Chalitza doesn't, so therefore, it turns out that both of them end up having to do Chalitza. Now that's the case in the Mishnah over there. So that's the basic case. You have four brothers and you have this case over here of Yitzchukah. Now, what Rabbi Chia are saying is that with each of the case that in that case and in each of the cases in our Mishnah, it is possible to draw out a family tree where you can find that Levi will be able to do Yibum with one of these sisters, and Yehuda will be able to do Yibum with the other. Rashi gives examples for all 15 of them. I'm not going to go through all 15 of them because it'll take us all night. But let's take one example. Let's take one example and see how we can fare with it. Here, this one looks fairly straightforward. This is Bat Ishtai. We said that one of the ones in our Mishnah was the daughter of his wife. So you had the patriarch Nachshon had been married to two women, Sarah and Rivka. They had each of them there's a daughter. So those daughters are half sisters from the father's side. Next, let's go down a generation. Sarah had a son, Reuben. Sarah had a son, Reuben. Rivka had a son, Shimon. From Nachshon. They're both. All four of these boys at the bottom over here are all Nakshin's, sons. That's why they're all colored the same color.
The deceased father.
Well, he's not deceased. Yeah, but yeah. So, okay. Right now we have four brothers where two of them were born from Nakshin's wives, and we have four brothers. Actually, it doesn't really matter. The four brothers could be from a completely different family. It's not Nagea what family they're from. The important point is, after Nakshin died, two of the brothers, Reuben and Shimon, married Nakshin's two wives, and two of them married his two daughters. That's the key thing. There's no machlokas over here. There's no machlokas. If Levi and Yehuda die, so let's see. Reuben is still married to Sarah. He's not allowed to do Yibum with Rachel because Rachel is his father's. Rachel is his mother's daughter. Not mother's daughter. Sorry, Reuben and Sarah are husband and wife. Sorry. So let's see then. So remember, Rachel is the daughter of Sarah, who is Reuben's wife. Rachel is Reuben's stepdaughter. So therefore he can't do Yibum with her. But he's perfectly able to do Yibum with Leah. She's no relation of him. No, because she's born from Nakshin and Rivka. Reuben is married to Sarah, and Sarah's daughter is Rachel. The only relation is that Rivka is his wife's former Sarah back when they were both married to Nakshin, and Leah is his wife's former Sarah's daughter. But fine, neither of those is the problem. So therefore, Reuben can perfectly well do Yibum with Leah. Similarly, Shimon can go cross over here and cross over and do Yibum with Rachel. So therefore, you have an example over there where four brothers, two of them are married to two married to two sisters, two married to two other sisters. These two are not sisters. No, these two are sisters. Rachel and Leah are the sisters. So you have Levi and Yehuda are married to two sisters. Reuben and Shimon, the two surviving brothers, are each able to marry one of those sisters without having a problem. That's what we mean. That you have, even though it's four brothers and two sisters, which on the face of it, we would have the case over here where both of them are also, because the chos kukase. But no, in these cases, it's not. Because Rachel is not zakuk to Reuben at all, because she's bas ishto, she's his wife's daughter, and therefore she's out of the picture completely as far as chalitza and yibum. She patters herself and her tzara. Sarah doesn't need Yibum anyway. But Leah has nothing to do with that. So Leah is from a different branch over there. And even though they're sisters, it's possible for Reuben is able to marry Leah because Rachel was off limits to him being Bas Ishta, being his wife's daughter. Because she was off limits, because she's one of the 15 women in our Mishnah, therefore her sister is not in that category where we said that's a chos kukase. A chos kukase only applies where each of them could have been zakuk. She was never zakuk. She was never zakuk because it's his wife's daughter. So that's an example. And Rashi goes through, you can see the very long Rashi over here, Vamar of Yehuda Merav, who goes through all 15 of these cases and shows how each of them can be. You can see how convoluted some of the family trees get. Anyway, that's the main point is now. So that's the general rule of Chiyah said. Now, what does this mean? Rabbi Yehuda says that this only applies to the ones in our Mishnah beginning from the mother-in-law. This rule of Rabbi Chiyah is saying that you can find cases with each of the ones in our Mishnah where the woman herself, where her sister is able to do chalitza or yibum with one of the four brothers. You can find, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this only applies beginning, this does not apply, he says, to the first six cases in the Mishnah. This rule does not apply to the first six cases in the Mishnah, he says. Why is that? Because, Why is that? Because he says that on the face of it, you're not going to have a case involving the you're not going to have a case involving the daughters or the daughter's daughters or whatever, where you would have somebody who's also to one, and somebody who's also to one is mutter to the other, and vice versa. The Gemara itself says Avoshita Bavi Direi Shalai. For the first six cases, Bita, Bas Bita, etc., he says that no, you don't have that. My time, because the only case where you would have where any of the ones involving the daughter could ever happen would involve it with a case of oinus, not a case of marriage. Let's take the case of Bita, because we have a good diagram for it over here. We have to have a case here where two out of the four brothers had been ma'anis, had raped the Sarah. Each one of them then there was a daughter from them. The reason it has to be that way is because again, otherwise you're gonna have the problem that it's gonna be either his daughter or his wife's daughter. So it has to be Oinsin. So that way you can say, in other words, that Shimon has no relation to Rachel, because Sarah, her mother, is not his wife. There was Oinus involved. And similarly, Reuben is not related to Leah. So now, if Levi and Yehuda respectively marry those two girls, Rachel and Leah, only then will you have those cases where we're saying that, again, Reuben is off limits to Rachel because she's his daughter.
Reuben
and Rachel are, there's no Yibum and no Chalitza possible,
right?
Because she's one of the 15.
Right.
She's one of the 15. Similarly, Shimon with Leah, but Reuben would be able to do Yibum with Leah, and Shimon would be able to do with Rachel. So you could have such a case, but it would require that there was rape involved. It would require that it couldn't happen if there were marriages involved, because if either Reuben or Shimon married Sarah, the whole thing wouldn't work. Because either Rachel or Leah then is going to be author either as his daughter or as his wife's daughter. That's why Rabbi Yehuda is saying this rule of Rabbi Chiya only applies to the last nine cases of the Mishnah. There's no way you can make it work in the first six cases, assuming you want to be talking about marriages. V'nisuin kamari, v'ainsin lo kamari. We only are talking about cases that could be accomplished by having a marriage, not cases that involve ainsin. Where the Abaye says that no, you could have a case of a daughter from his anusa, this case that we just showed. Since you're able to find it, fine. Some of the cases in the Mishnah, you can only have a case, this crossover thing that Rabbi is saying, you can only find in a case of oinus. Fine, you can only find it in a case of oinus. Let it be that way, but at least you can find it. But the case where Levi was born after Reuben died, then no, we're saying that... We're saying that this rule of Rabbi Chiya, you can't find a way that it would work out according to Rabbi Shimon, according to the Rabbanan rather. My time, given to the Rabbi Shimon, whom are mashkachas lo, the Rabbanan lo mashkachas lo. You can only find it according to Rabbi Shimon, because only according to Rabbi Shimon would we say that there was a case where only according to Rabbi Shimon would we have a case where Levi is ever able to do yibum with this woman who once was married to Reuben. Again, the case where Levi was born, after the Yibum took place. After the Yibum took place, where we said, therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the fact that she was ever married to Reuven is out of the picture.
And so the Rabbanan
loy mashkachas la, and therefore we plug to loy kamari. And we're saying that we don't want to that the Mishnah, we don't want to assume that any cases of the Mishnah involve machlokas. That's the question. In other words, we want to say that the Mishnah is talking about all the 15 cases where there's no possible machlokas, and we want to say Rabbi Chiya's rule that in each of the cases in the Mishnah we can find a case where one brother is able to do yibum with one of the sisters and the other is able to do with the other of the sisters without having a problem. But in this case, Eishes Achiv Shelo Heved by Lamai, it only works out according to Rabbi Shimon. It only works out according to Rabbi Shimon because we have to have a case actually, and the Gemara is going to actually spell it out in a minute. We're going to have to actually have a case where there are six brothers involved. Now we're up to six brothers. Yeah. So we start with Reuben and Shimon. We're married to Rachel and Leah. Reuben died. Shimon is potter from Chalitza and Yibum with Rachel because she's his wife's sister. Now, afterwards, so she goes ahead and so she has to marry either Levi or Yehuda. She's zakuk to Levi or Yehuda. So fine, she winds up now she hasn't yet done Yibum. Meanwhile, before the Yibum happened, Yisachar was born, a fifth brother. At this point, Yibum hasn't happened yet.
From who he was born?
No, he was born from the same parents as Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, okay. The previous generation. That's why they're all blue. So therefore, again, even according to Shimon, there's no question she's Osir to everybody. Yisachar is Osir to Rachel or to Leah, to Rachel, because Rachel was Mizuka. She was required to do Yibum, and she hadn't yet done it at the time Yisachar was born, so she's still considered in a way tied to Reuben. So let's continue on the case. Rachel goes ahead and does Yibum with Levi. So far, so good. Now Shimon dies, and Leah is up for Yibum. Leah, we're saying, is also to Levi because Levi already married Rachel. Leah is his wife's sister. So fine, she's off limits to him. But Leah is going to have Yibum, presumably with either Yisachar or Yehuda. Which, fine, that's not a problem. She's not Yisachar Shalai Ba'ilami. Leah was married to begin with to Shimon, and then Yisachar was born while Shimon was still alive, so far so good. Before the second Yibum took place, before Leah's Yibum took place, now a sixth brother, Zvulun, was born. Now, Shimon is no longer living. Again, we're saying that Zvulun is no good. He's Yisachar Shalai Ba'ilami, Leah.
He was born before.
Because he was born after Shimon died and before Leah had done Yibum. So Leah goes ahead and does Yibum with Yehuda. Now, eventually, Levi and Yehuda tie. Only according to Reb Shimon would we now say that there's any possibility of Yibum or Chalitza over here.
Between,
you have, what do we have here? Yisachar will take Leah, who was Shimon's brother, because Yisachar was born when Shimon was still alive. And Zvulun will take Rachel because even though Zvulun was only born long after Reuben died, it doesn't matter. According to Shimon, once Rachel did Yibum the first time with Levi, Reuben's out of the picture.
And so he has to.
So he would have to do Yibum. Zvulun would have to do Yibum with Leah. Zvulun would have to Yibum with Rachel, rather. The reason is because Leah is off limits to him. Eish Yisachar Shalai Ba'ilami. So Yisachar, when you have these two women who are sisters, why don't we have a problem of a chos skukase? Because Rachel was the wife of Reuben, who died long before Yisachar was born, and according to everybody, he died before Yisachar was born and before Yibum was done. There's no question Rachel is off limits to him. Because of that, though, Leah is not. She's not considered the wife of Skukah, because Rachel is not Zakuk to him.
Right.
Vice versa with Zvulun. But all of this only works out according to Reb Shimon. Because according to the Chachamim, no, we would say since Rachel was once married to Reuben, it doesn't matter even though afterwards Rachel was also married to Levi by Yibum, doesn't matter. The fact that she was once married to Reuben puts her off limits to Yisachar and Zvulun. So that case would only work out according to Reb Shimon, that's the question. Rav Safra Matagum Af Eish Yisachar Shalahei Ba'ilami. Rav Safra says you could even find a case of Eish Yisachar Shalahei Ba'ilami. Or Mashkachas L'Beshita Achim. You would have this case of the six brothers, but only V'alibid Rav Shimon, only according to Rav Shimon, because again, according to the Chachamim, it wouldn't work out. V'simonach, Mes Nolim V'Yibim, Mes Nolim V'Yibim. And the Simon, to remember the order of what happened with these six brothers, is Reuben died, Yisachar was born, and Levi did Yibum. Then Shimon died, Zvulun was born, and Yehuda did Yibum. It has to be in that order in order for it to work. In English history, they have something about the six wives of Henry VIII, there's also the way of remembering what happened to them. The first one divorced, the second one beheaded, the third one divorced, beheaded, survived. When I listen to this Gemara Lahavdil, it reminds me of that, Mesner the Be'ibim, Mesner the Be'ibim. So the bottom line is, we have a question. We seem to have a case in the Mishnah that involves the Machloikas, which would be the case of Eishes Alcha Shalohi Ba'alamai. How can you have Reb Chiya's rule, Asur Lozem, Uteret Lozem, Asur Lozem, Uteret Lozem, only according to Reb Shimon? And we're saying the Rebbe had told Levi that the Mishnah does not include cases of Machloikas. Hello, you have to answer, okay, the Rebbe, Hani Kholi Leslie. Fine, you have to answer that Rebbe does not hold of these rules of Reb Chiya. This Reb Chiya had said that with all 15 cases of the Mishnah, you can have a case where one brother is able to do Yibum with one sister but not the other, and vice versa. Rebbe doesn't hold of that rule. Rebbe can say, fine, the Mishnah is just talking poetry, so to say, and so to say. It's not talking, the Mishnah is not telling us cases where you have one brother able to. You know, there isn't a case in our Mishnah, necessarily, for every single one of the 15, where you can find where one brother is able to marry one and the other is able to marry the other. Stop here for my ears, and we'll have to continue catching up, I guess.